Thanks very much for inviting and putting together a great program. So my talk is on a help transform approach to option pricing applications. So let me go over this motivation slide really quickly. Let me just point out that in a recent report by Bank for International Settlement, the global over-the-counter option market size by the end of June 2009 was about $65 trillion. So in addition to active trading in the over-the-counter market, options are also heavily traded on exchanges. So here's an example of that. You can see that in January 2010, almost 14 million of S&P 500 index options are traded. So that just indicates that a fast and accurate pricing of option contracts is relevant. So the most well-known option pricing model probably is going to be the Black-Scholes-Merton model. It is also well known that this model cannot capture extreme price movements in financial markets that are not uncommon. And also, it cannot explain some well-known empirical features like volatility smile and turn structure effects that are observed in option markets. So a bunch of alternative option pricing models have been proposed and studied. Those included the jump diffusion model and pure jump levy models, where asset price can jump. And then we have local volatility models, stochastic volatility models, where the volatility is going to be modeled by an extra stochastic process. And then a combination of those two components, stochastic volatility jump diffusion models. But then when you leave the Black-Scholes framework and consider options pricing in alternative models, a simple formula like the Black-Scholes formula is not going to be available anymore. And even in the Black-Scholes framework, if you want to price options with early exercise features, and in that situation, there's no closed form solution also. So in such cases, we have to rely on numerical methods. So popular numerical methods include the following: a finite difference, finite element method for numerically solving partial differential equations or partial integral differential equations, Monte Carlo simulation, and then transform methods based on Laplace transform, Fourier transform, Z transform, and fast Gauss transform, so on and so forth. So more recently, Fourier transform-based methods have received some attention. And this type of methods are going to work well when you know the characteristic function of the underlying stochastic processes. There was firstly by Kahn and Madan, who proposes a Fourier inverse integral representation for European vanilla options. And that was extended in this paper to cover more general payoff structures. And greater improvement can be obtained by coupling the Fourier transform method with a fast Fourier transform. And actually, the application of the fast Fourier transform for options pricing dates back at least 1994, where Eidelin, he wants to compute convolution integrals for pricing certain option contracts. And then the convolution integrals can be discretized, and then you end up with a tuple matrix vector multiplication. So a tuple matrix is basically a matrix with a constant diagonals. And then that tuple matrix vector multiplication can be implemented using a FFT. So in this talk, I will present a Hilbert transform approach, which is very closely related to the Fourier transform method. I'll illustrate the method with the pricing of Bermudan options in Levy models. So this is a joint work with my student Lin. So I'll first tell you what is a Hilbert transform, and why it is relevant in terms of option pricing applications, and how the Hilbert transform can be implemented efficiently. And then I'll show the Bermudan option pricing example. So a Heap transform is defined by the following a Cauchy principal value interval for a function in LP. So it is named after David Hilbert, who came up with unitary relationships for the Heap transform. The key identity that is crucial for our applications is the following. It is well known in a Fourier analysis. So suppose a function f is integrable. Okay. So the Fourier transform of f, which I denote by fx. By the way, the Fourier transform is defined this way. There are many alternative definitions. And I'm going to go with this one because this is consistent with the definition of a characteristic function in probability. So suppose f hat, the Fourier transform, is also integrable. And L is just any number in the real line. In that case, the Fourier transform of a function multiplied by an indicator function, that can be computed in the following way. So on the right-hand side here, you have two terms. The first term is one half of the Fourier transform. And then the second term involves a Heap transform of the Fourier transform of f. Okay? So this indicator function here takes the value 1 on the right of L and 0 on the other side. And there's going to be a similar identity when the indicator function is the other way around. So I'm not going to show. So let me show you some examples of why this indicator function is going to be relevant in terms of option pricing applications. So the first example, of course, will be the pricing of European vanilla options. So in this case, we need to compute expectations like this, expectation of this form. So this is a put option with a strike price K and a maturity capital T. Okay. So you can immediately see that this expectation can be decomposed into two parts. Okay. So the first part is that. So then you see that the indicator function comes up. That indicator function basically takes the value 1 when the put option ends up in the money. Okay. So therefore, in this case, the indicator function really comes from the payoff structure of the European vanilla option. And the first term here, that is nothing but a probability. And the second term can also be reduced to a probability. So for pricing a European vanilla option, really you need to compute two probabilities. And for computing a probability like this, suppose I have a random variable x. I want to compute its CDF. And the characteristic function is known. And it's denoted by phi. Well, we know that that probability is going to be the integral of the density p multiplied by this indicator function, okay? And then you can here, you can insert a exponential term, e to the I times 0 times y. That it doesn't change anything. And that is actually a Fourier transform of the product of the density and this indicator function at the point 0. And that is why we, that is how we get a Heap transform representation for the CDF of the random variable x. So, and then knowing this, we can price the European vanilla options really easily. So before I go to the next example, let me comment that this way of inverting the characteristic function to obtain the CDF of a distribution with normal characteristic functions is going to be actually turns out to be quite efficient in many applications when you have a nice enough characteristic function. We have found some interesting applications. And also, it turns out that because of this exponential term here, we're able to apply the FFT and compute multiple values of the CDF simultaneously. So it's easy to construct a table of the CDF. And that may be able to use it to conduct a Monte Carlo simulation. So that application is currently under investigation. So now let's move to the next example where indicator function is going to be quite natural. So in this paper, we consider pricing European discrete Barrier options. So a key step in this application is the following. So I want to compute the option value at time j. And that is going to be calculated this way. I need to compute the conditional expectation of the option value at time j plus 1. Okay. And then that is going to be multiplied by an indicator function. And here, in this case, the indicator function is associated with the Barrier monitoring. So basically, it says that the bearish option is going to be knocked out when the underlying asset crosses either the lower bearish or upper bearish. Okay. So here, when you take a Fourier transform on both sides of this, you get a heap transform representation. And it turns out that this approach is quite efficient. Another example of where the indicator function is going to show up. So in this paper, we consider computing exponential moments of the discrete maximum of a Lavi process and pricing European discrete lookback options. So here, the key step is the following. I need to find the distribution of the discrete maximum of the Lavi process at time j, minus the value of the Lavi process at time j. So this distribution can be, the distribution of this can be found recursively in the following way. So it's quite straightforward. So mj, well, that is nothing but the maximum of m over j minus 1 and xj. So you put an xj inside. So you get the maximum of a 0 and m of a j minus 1 minus x of a j minus 1 and minus the increment of the Lavi process. Now notice that these two components here are independent. So the density of this component, that is just going to be a convolution integral. Okay. So also, we notice that this maximum, the discrete maximum, has a probability mass at 0.0. So you're going to collect those probability mass. And then the density over the positive half real line of this thing here is going to be simply this convolution integral multiplied by an indicator function. And that is where the indicator function comes from. And then we apply the technique and apply the Fourier transform, and then we get a heap transform representation. Okay. So those are a few cases where indicator function is going to come from in option pricing applications. And sometimes it comes from the payoff structure. And in this situation, it comes from the bearish monitoring. And here, it is less obvious, but it comes from the maximum function here. Okay. Now let me show you how Hilbert transforms can be approximated. So the discrete version of a Hilbert transform is going to be a discrete Hilbert transform. So suppose the step size is h, and then you can approximate the Hilbert transform using the following infinite series. And it turns out that this infinite series is not really too complicated, but it turns out that this simple approximation is highly accurate. Suppose f is this function f is analytic in a horizontal strip in a complex plane that contains the real line. And then it turns out that the Hilbert transform of f and the discrete Hilbert transform, the difference is going to be bounded by this term here. Okay, so in the denominator, when h is small, this is pretty much a constant. And then in the numerator, you have exponential term, which is exponential in terms of 1 over h. That is highly accurate when you decrease the step size h. So this is related to a Wittig cardinal series in approximation theory. So let me say a little bit more about that. So Wittig cardinal series is also known as a sink expansion. So basically, here you approximate a function f by the following infinite series. So remember that this one here, it's a sine x over x. That is a sink function. That's why it's called a sink expansion. So it turns out that when the function is entire, which means it's analytic in the whole complex plane, it's entire of exponential type with that type, it turns out that a sink expansion is actually exact. Okay, that is some result in Fourier analysis. Well, in our applications, we do not have entire functions, but we do have analytic functions that are analytic in a horizontal strip. And it turns out that in this case, the sink expansion is also highly accurate. So the difference between the sink expansion and the f itself is going to be bounded by this thing here, again, which is going to be decay exponentially. This one here, that depends on that is doesn't depend on h, but depend on the behavior of the function f on the boundary of this strip. Could it be that? Yeah. Well, in most of the applications, you can b- Because you know the behavior of this function f, so you can find out the behavior of this constant c here. So now the discrete Hilbert transform is really just a direct result of the approximation theory on the previous slide. So if you take a Hilbert transform on both sides of the sink expansion, you actually get the discrete Hilbert transform. That is why discrete Hilbert transform is also going to be highly accurate. And it also, interestingly, when the function is analytic in a horizontal strip like this, the trapezoidal rule is going to be highly accurate. We all know that a trapezoidal rule in general, okay, it's a second order. But it turns out that if a function is nice enough like this, you can go ahead and take an integral on both sides of the sink expansion. You get the trapezoidal rule. So it turns out that the difference between the integral and the trapezoidal sum is going to be bounded, again, by exponential term like this. So it decays exponentially in terms of 1 over h. So that is a very interesting and we are going to use the trapezoidal rule to compute Fourier inverse integrals in our option pricing applications. So, and actually, in the original paper of Khan and Madan, they used the Simpson method. And actually, if they used the trapezoidal sum, they could have obtained a much better accuracy. So I want to comment on that. All right, so now let me move to the pricing of Bermudian options in AVI models. So let's consider Bermudian put with a strike price K. So the payoff is going to be a G in this format. So the option is going to be discretely monitored. So the set of monitoring time is going to be this one, T0, T1, until Tm. So without loss of generality, I'm going to assume that the monitoring times are equally spaced. This is not a requirement, so it's just going to make my presentation easier. Okay. So we consider exponential AVI model. So the asset price is going to be governed by this. S0 is the initial asset price here, and XT is a AVI process starting from 0. So the price of a Bermudian put is going to solve a optimal stopping problem. We have seen this a couple of times. So here, the supremum is taken over the set of stopping times that take a value in this discrete set. Okay, so here R is the risk-free interest rate. So e to the negative R delta is the discount factor. So it's well known that this optimal stopping problem can be implemented using a backward induction. Okay, so I'm going to show you the backward induction, but I do a variable change first. So I let x to be as log of asset price over strike price. And then the payoff function in terms of x is going to be simpler, a little bit simpler. Okay, so it's k times this. And then I'm looking for the option value function in terms of this new variable x at time 0. And then the backward induction is going to read as follows. We started with the option payoff at a maturity, time tn. Okay? And then at any time step, J, I need to compute a conditional expectation and then discount the conditional expectation. So this just denotes the continuation value of the option. And then I need to compare that with the payoff function G and take the maximum of the two. So the option value at time J is going to be the maximum of the option payoff and continuation value. So you just keep doing that. And then eventually you're going to recover the option value function at time 0. So direct implementation of this is, of course, it's possible if you know the transition probability density of the underlying Levy process. So then you just need to do a numerical integration here. So there will be two concerns if you do that. One is, of course, it's going to be polynomial convergence if you use a Newton-Cotes type rules. And secondly, which is the more serious probably, in some of the Levy models, the transition probability density simply is not available. Like in the CGNY model, there's analytical expression for the transition probability density. So that means you actually have to recover the transition density first from the characteristic function. So that is going to be an extra a computation effort. So some other methods that can be used to compute exponential term, the expectation, condition expectations like this, a Monte Carlo simulation. Well, that is going to be more attractive when the dimension is high. Another method is it works great for Black-Scholes-Merton model and Merton's jump diffusion model. So this is due to a Bodin Yama model, double exponential fast Gauss transform method. So this is extremely fast and accurate, actually. However, here, the density has to be a Gaussian type. Now, we have a lattice model. We have a lattice method. So this actually applies to a more general Levy models. However, the computational cost is going to be quite a... So it's a computationally very intensive. They try to price a 1 year Bermudan option with 40 monitoring times, and they start to losing accuracy. And I'll show you an example where we want to compute a 1 year daily monitored Bermudan option, which means that the number of monitoring times is going to be 252. And in that situation, I don't think this is going to work well. So, and then there's another work by, in this paper, they realized that the condition expectation here, it is nothing but a convolution, actually. Okay. So what that means, the Fourier transform of this condition expectation is going to be just a product. Okay. So they proceed as follows. So they started with the Fourier transform of the option value at time j plus 1. Okay. And then multiply that by the characteristic function. That way you got the Fourier transform of this condition expectation. And then you do a Fourier inverse to get this function itself. Okay. That is the Fourier inverse representation of the condition expectation. And then you take a maximum. Take a maximum of this and the option payoff. And then compute the Fourier transform of fj, the option value at time j. And then keep doing this. So in this talk, I'll present a method that is kind of similar to this. But what we do is the following. We start with the Fourier transform of f of j plus 1, the option value at time j plus 1. And then we compute the Fourier transform of fj directly without going to this intermediate step here, without actually computing the conditional expectation as a function of x. Actually, the only time that we go back to the state space is to find the optimal exercise boundary. That is the only time we go back to the state space. And it pretty much we stay in the Fourier space all the time. And the reason is that we want to take advantage of this strong approximation theory, where we can achieve exponential decaying errors. So the first step I need to do is to, okay, guarantee integrability. So for that, I need to do some exponential dampening. So for put option, you select an alpha that is positive. Okay, and then you define f alpha j, which is going to be the multiplication of fj and an exponential term here, e to the alpha x. And then you do the same to the payoff function. And then if you do this, okay, we want to compute this conditional expectation here. So you want to replace this f, the option value at that time j plus 1. You want to replace this f by f of alpha. So, okay, you replace this by f of alpha. And then you will have an extra e to the negative alpha x term. Okay. But then that can be eliminated by doing some measure change. So the measure change is going to be corresponding to this this one here. This is the Roda-Nicton derivative. So actually, this is known as the Asher transform. So if you do that, then this condition expectation here is going to be reduced to the conditional expectation under the new measure, P alpha, of the dampened option value function at time j plus 1. Okay, so those are just standard procedures. I'm omitting all those details. One nice thing about Asher transform for Levy process is that a transform to Levy process is still going to be a Levy process. So the only difference is that the characteristic function is going to be different. Okay, but then the characteristic function can be computed from the original characteristic function, so which is really nice. Now that way you got a dampened backward induction. Okay, so you start with a dampened option payoff function, right? And then at any time j, we realize that there's going to be early exercise boundary, which I call xj star, so that the option value function is going to be equal to the dampened payoff on the left of that early exercise boundary xj star. So that means when the asset price is low enough, the put value is going to be equal to the payoff. You should early exercise. And on the right of xj star, when the asset price is high enough, and then it's optimal to hold the put. So the option, the dampened option value function is going to be equal to this condition expectation here. So that is where this indicator function comes from for pricing Bermudian options. It is really because of the monitoring the early exercise opportunities. So then you can take a Fourier transform of this on both sides of this equation. So the Fourier transform of that is going to be easily obtainable. And then the Fourier transform of this is going to be corresponding to a Hilbert transform by using our key relationship. So we realize that this condition expectation here, the Fourier transform of that is known because this is a convolution integral. So the Fourier transform of this is going to be a product, right? So, and then the Fourier transform of this function multiplied by an indicator function, that's going to correspond to a Hilbert transform. Right, so that is what I mentioned. The Fourier transform of the condition expectation is going to be a product. Now we got the backward induction in the Fourier space. We started with the Fourier transform of the dampened option payoff. And then we compute the Fourier transform of the dampened option value at time j from the Fourier transform of the dampened option value at time j plus 1. This way, in the following way. So it looks complicated, but this is nothing but the key identity that I showed, really. Okay. So of course, you need to find the early exercise boundary at each step before you can apply, before you can actually conduct a calculation for this one here. Okay. So, but that is actually quite a straightforward. So the early exercise boundary is going to solve this equation here. So the payoff is equal to the continuation value, basically. Okay. And then again, we realize that the Fourier transform of that condition expectation is a product. So so we can easily obtain a Fourier inverse representation for the right hand side here. Okay. So for solving this equation, we really just need to equalize this two here. So the dampened payoff is equal to a Fourier inverse integral. And then I mentioned that the Fourier inverse integrals can be discretized with exponentially decaying errors really efficiently. Okay. So, and then this equation can be solved by any root finding algorithms. For example, Newton-Raphson. So the boundary at the time n, that is known. And then for the boundary at time j, you just start with initial guess x of x star j plus 1, which is known at this point, and then you use the Newton-Raphson, okay, or any other root finding algorithm. So that way we can obtain a very accurate approximation to xj star. And then we go back to the previous backward induction and implement this using a discrete Hilbert transform. So to summarize, we started with the Fourier transform of the dampened option payoff. And then at any time, j delta, we computed the early exercise boundary, xj star. Okay? That is just a bunch of Fourier inverse integrals. Okay? Now knowing xj star, we computed the Fourier transform of the dampened option payoff, option value function at time j for an f of j plus 1 alpha hat. Okay? And that is going to involve a Hilbert transform. And then knowing the Fourier transform of the option value at time 1, you can just do another Fourier inverse to get the option value at time 0. So f of 0 is going to have this little representation here. Basically, it's a Fourier inverse integral, another Fourier inverse integral. So as you can see here, we need to computer Fourier inverse integrals. That can be done efficiently. And we need to compute a Hilbert transform once. And that can be done using a discrete Hilbert transform. So for all of those, we have efficient computational schemes. So in terms of a computational cost, we need to, at any time step, we need to compute a Fourier inverse integrals and a Hilbert transform of this, form. For the Fourier inverse integrals, we use the trapezoidal rule. Okay? So we get an infinite series, and then we truncate that. So suppose the truncation level is going to be n, then the computational cost of it's going to be a linear in n. And then we replace the discrete Hilbert transform, H, by, we replace the Hilbert transform by the discrete Hilbert transform. And then again, we truncate the infinite series. So approximate that by a finite sum here. And then we need to compute this, the value of the of this finite sum on the grid that varies from an active MH to MH. Okay, so if you look at this carefully, actually this corresponds to a matrix vector multiplication, and in particular, the matrix is going to have a nice structure, which is that the matrix is actually going to be a tuples matrix with constant diagonals. And then I mentioned that for this type of a matrix vector multiplication, you can use FFT-based methods. So the computational cost for that is going to be m log m, which is pretty much linear in m. So in the summary, the total computational cost of the method is going to be n times m log m. So it's linear in the number of monitoring times, and it's going to be m log m in terms of the truncation level. So it's quite a computational, it's quite efficient. In terms of error estimate, the discretization errors, those are going to be exponential. I have mentioned that. So it's going to be exponential in terms of a 1 over h. And then the truncation level, the truncation error obviously depends on the behavior of the characteristic function. So in many of the Levy models, it turns out that the characteristic function is going to be having exponential tails. So suppose the characteristic function has this type of tails for some constant c and nu. And then it turns out that the truncation error is going to be essentially exponential in terms of the truncation level m multiplied by step size h. And that immediately gives us a guidance of selecting h and m in an appropriate way. So you just want to equalize the orders of magnitude of those two quantities. Okay? So that is going to give us this easy way of selecting h as a function of m. So remember that m indicates the computational cost. So eventually, the total of the discretization error and truncation error is going to be exponential in terms of the computational cost m. In this form. So again, nu here is related to the tail of the characteristic function. Yes? I didn't look at the stable alpha process, so I'm not sure. But VG is not the case. Variance gamma is not the case. Actually, variance gamma, it is a very unique situation. So the tail of the characteristic function in the variance gamma model decays polynomially, and actually terribly, very, very slow. That translates to the transition probability density. What you have is basically a discontinuous transition probability density for the online return process. So in that situation, this scheme is not going to work. So we have to separate the selection of m and h, because the order of the magnitudes are going to be different. One is exponential, one is polynomial. But I didn't look at the stable alpha, so I don't know. But in some other models like NIG, normal inverse Gaussian, and CGMY, now all of them has exponentially decaying tails like this. So My first example is the pricing of a Bermudian option, Bermudian put in the energy model. So here, the characteristic function has exponential tails with nil that is equal to 1. So the error estimated in terms of m is going to be something like this, exponential in terms of the square root of m, because nil is equal to 1. So I verify that convergence. So on the right panel here, I have so the vertical axis, that is log s at a log a pricing error, and this x-axis, those are square root of m. So you see a straight line which verifies the convergence of our method. And also, you obtain an accuracy of 10 to the negative 8 in quite a small amount of time, pretty much 4 seconds. And remember that this is a one-year daily monitored option. So daily monitored option actually to the difficult case. Because the discretization error of our method here, the D term here, okay, it's not D, somewhere. Here. So the truncation error, that actually depends on the interval of the monitoring. So if you have a daily monitoring, the delta is going to be 1 over 252, which is a very small number. In that case, you need a really large enough m to do the computation. So daily monitoring is going to be a challenging case. And for example, the lattice method is going to pretty much fail. But in this situation, we see that the performance is still quite good. So plus, this is implemented in MATLAB. If you try C, probably it's going to be faster. So on the right-hand side, I have the early exercise boundary as a function of a time to maturity. So that is going to be obtained as a byproduct. So no extra calculation. So let me quickly mention how Bermudian Bury options can be handled. So actually, Bermudian Bury, that can be handled pretty much in the same way. So for Bermudian Bury, in addition to the maximum function here, this is the maximum function, you have an extra Bury monitoring indicator function. So, and then you can combine this Bury monitoring indicator function and that indicator function together. So basically, you still have just one indicator function. So you take a Fourier transform of this, you get a heap transform representation. So here's an example of pricing Bermudian down and output in Coase model. So the right-hand side, that is option value function. So the low Bury is 80. The left-hand side, that is the performance of the method. So here, the theory says that the convergence is going to be exponential in terms of m to the 2 over 3. So again, we verify that. You see a straight line. Again, this is a one-year daily monitor, Bermudian put. So for Bermudian floating strike lookback options, we also came up with a heap transform approach. So if you use a standard approach, then you're going to have two state variables. One is the asset price, and the other is going to be the maximum asset price. And but that can be reduced to one state variable, which is going to be the quotient, the maximum asset price over the asset price. And then the dimension is going to be 1. And then you can actually come up with a heap transform method. So let me mention that in this paper, they have a double exponential fast Gauss transform method for Black-Scholes Merton and Merton's model. So this method, the heap transform method, is going to apply to more general Levy models. So here's a picture of that. So you see that in this is the Bermudian floating strike look-back put in the CGNY model. So the convergence is going to be exponential in terms of m to the y over 1 plus y. Again, we verify the convergence. And the right-hand side, that is the option value function as a function of the maximum asset price over the asset price. Okay. So basically, this says that when the maximum asset price over asset price is not large enough, you should hold the option. And when the maximum asset price is way larger than the current asset price, you should exercise. So say a few things about Merkin options. So in the Black-Scholes Merton model, it is known that the convergence of a Bermudian to a Merkin is going to be in the order of 1 over n. So that means that we can actually apply a Richardson extrapolation for the pricing of American options. So basically, you obtain two approximations, P1 with N1 monitoring intervals, P2 with N2 monitoring intervals, and then you just extrapolate. So I have a table here. So this is a number of monitoring intervals. Okay. So those are Bermudan put prices. Okay. And then you extrapolate. So you see that you get a quite a good accuracy in just by using only 5 and 10 monitoring intervals. Remember that a daily monitored option prices, they are more difficult to compute. But this type of Bermudan options are really easy to compute. Okay. So therefore, it is quite easy to get American options in the Black-Scholes American model. So in more general levy models, we do not have a convergence result. So there's not much I can say. Okay. So to summarize, I have a huge transform method for pricing a various type of options. And in particular, I talked about the pricing of Bermudan options in levy models. So it's quite accurate with exponentially decaying errors. And the computational cost is linear in the number of monitoring times, and m log n in the number of truncation level. So it can be used to price various type of options, European vanilla, berry lookback, and the Bermudan type of those. And then in terms of applied probability applications, it can be used to invert the characteristic function to obtain the CDF. And that might lead to applications in Monte Carlo simulation, which we will investigate. Okay? Thank you.